Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these men who have worked so hard and prayed so much to prepare their messages. We ask you, Lord, for the people. They've been very patient today. And Father, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon people's hearts, that they may receive the word of God and upon the speaker. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this, the last saying of Christ upon the cross. He, as we have just been told, he had come to the place where he said, "It is finished." And if you want to put it that way, you could say in a way, he was finished with earth. With a loud voice, he cried out, "Teleo, it's finished." And that's for all of us to know. For none of us to try and add anything to the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's finished. And then, after he had said that, he said these words, which are not towards the world. Not towards the world. They're not for us. They're for him. He comes here to this point. Remember what he had previously said before. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or he could have said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know how he said it, but I know what he said. And he wasn't calling him Father, because he was hanging there as a representative sinner. God became a man. He became a man without ceasing to be God. He always was God. But he wasn't just the Son of God, he was the Son of Man also. And this Son of Man, hanging on Calvary's tree, cries out because he was separated from the Father. The wages of sin is death, it's separation. Adam was separated in the garden, he went and hid himself in the trees. And separation is what sin does to people. And your sin and my sin separates us from God until Jesus comes. And when we come to Christ, accept him as our own personal Savior, yield to him as Master and Lord of our lives, we belong to him and we're never separated again. But if you don't know Christ, and if you refuse him, you will be separated from God forever. Forever. You'll be in heaven or you'll be in hell. As we've been told, there's no middle ground. This, at that time on the cross, remember, there was an eclipse of the sun. The sun was hidden, it was in complete darkness over all the land. But there was another eclipse. And the second eclipse was the eclipse of the face of God the Father. The Almighty God's face was hidden from the sun because the sun was made sin. For as much as it pleased God to make us of the flesh, he himself likewise took part of the same. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But now we get to our word. The first recorded words of Jesus Christ were at the age of 12. When his mother went to look for him after he'd gone missing, and she found him in the temple, and he said, "Don't you understand? I must be about my Father's business." First words, "my Father's business." The last words spoken before he went to the grave. Father, I do pray over this. I do look at the words. I don't know exactly. He'd just given a loud cry, and now he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He had given everything away. Everything. He gave his peace to his disciples. He gave his back to the whip. He gave his face to the hair plucked out. He gave his head to the thorns, his hands to the nails, and his feet too. He gave his body to the cross, and he gave his clothes to the soldiers. And he hangs there naked between time and eternity. And he made one sacrifice for sin forever. One. And he's got nothing left. Nothing. Except his spirit. His own spirit. And he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I don't know about you, but those words, he gave his all, mean a lot when you think about it like this. Now he gives his spirit to the Father. Those words come from the Psalm 31 verse 5. It says there, and to thy hands I commend my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me. But he didn't say, for thou hast, he stopped. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, because he was the Redeemer. He was the Savior. He didn't need a Redeemer. He didn't need a Savior. He's the Savior. And we know he's heading to the grave. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I want to just ask you a small point here. Why? Why was all this necessary? Why did this have to happen? It had to happen because of sin. He had to die for us. There's no other way to get to heaven. You can't get in there any other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. Because of sin, he had to come and deal with sin. And he also had to come because God is holy. You know, as we talk about the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and we talk about ourselves a lot, but we need to remember, God was offended. God was hurt. God suffered because of man's sin. And so, his holiness had to be satisfied. His purity had to be satisfied. And Jesus Christ died. You know, I could say to you, well, you may be concerned about your sin, and that's a lovely thing. That's good for you. But there's something else you better be concerned about. You'd better be concerned about God. Because the cross is not just about us. It's about the Father. It's about the Father. And the Bible tells us, as I've already mentioned, he made one sacrifice for sin forever to satisfy the Father. He, through the Spirit, entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's spoken prophetically in the Old Testament, thou and the children that you have given me, and that's us. But now, the Lord Jesus is also dying to satisfy the Father. And I'll tell you that God is satisfied with this sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Are you saved? You go to church? I didn't ask you if you went to church. Are you saved? But when I went to India, I kept on having people tell me. I'd ask them, are they a Christian? They kept saying, my father's a preacher, my grandfather. That's got nothing to do with it. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You've got to come yourself. He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believes on Him, is not condemned. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's not condemned. Do you have a condemnation in your heart today? He that believes not, listen to me. I'm talking about you. He that believes not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But everyone that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so you see Jesus in that wonderful, wonderful way paid the price, dealt with sin. Because God is holy. And to go right back to the beginning of our messages, and He did this because man needs forgiveness. We need forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. And only through Him can you be forgiven. I want to ask you, what do you see when you look at Christ on the cross? I was trying to meditate on this. I didn't know what to say, and my meditations took me along this line. Eternity came into time. Eternity came into time. From outside, Jesus said, I came not of myself, my Father sent me. 70 times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, the Father sent Him, or words like that. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Have you ever done that? Have you ever commended your spirit to God? I do not recommend you try and do it when you die. If you're in the modern age, you'll be all drugged up. You won't be able to speak. Say it now! Say it while you can! Call out to God! And some of us need a new beginning. You know, some of us have too many endings and not enough beginnings. We're always living in the past. God is the great God of now. He's the I am, not the I was. Not even the I will be, I am. That's for us now. And so in your heart, as you come to this great cross, I want to ask you, what do you see? And I warn you, You can look at this cross and get it wrong. The chief priests looked at the cross of Calvary and they saw Jesus as an imposter. And they cursed him. They cursed him. The soldier who put the spear in his side saw him as divinity. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Mary, she saw him with deep, loving compassion as she saw him hang there. What do you see? What do you see when you see Christ hanging on the cross? The angels, the Bible says, they desire to look into these things that you and I talk about. They looked at him with wonder and amazement. What do you see? The thief hanging beside him. As we have been told, he saw him as a Lord and a King. That's how he saw him. Do you? Do you? The wonderful thing about all of what we're talking about is that God, the Almighty God, for the first time, God said to Abraham, just before the matter came about the birth of Isaac, "I am the Almighty God." Or the Almighty God sees the Son as completely satisfying. He is completely satisfying, completely acceptable. He had done the unthinkable. He had gathered up the sinners to Jesus into his heart. And he had said, "I am taking their place." Their place. They don't have to die on the cross. They don't have to die like this. I am dying for them. And they're dying in me, in that sense, that he took them into his heart. That's you. That's you. So just to bring it to a close, Jesus said, "Father, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Nothing could ever be safer. And remember, dear friends, no human hands, no unbelieving hands ever touched Jesus again. Having said this, he bowed his head. Now, when men die, they just die and then their head drops, not with him. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. He said to his spirit, "Go to the Father's hands. Go." And he died. He didn't die because of the nails. He didn't die because of the whip. He died because he gave up his life. And the spear of Rome confirmed this. But no unbelieving hand ever touched him again, and never will. Never will. You want to come to Jesus? You've got to go to the cross. You want to go to heaven? You've got to come to this cross. You want to be with your family? You've got to come to this cross. He's the door. No other way. I take funerals. We see these little children, we know they've gone to heaven, and we say to the parents, "If you want to see them again, come to Calvary, or you'll never see them again. You've got to come to the cross." So you have listened today. Now the big question is, what am I going to do about what I've heard? And what are you going to do about it? I hope you go to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he's near.
Amen.